Well, I'd be glad if you'd open your Bibles at the Gospel according to Matthew and chapter 7. So on a monthly basis, we're having a look in our family services at the Sermon on the Mount. And this sermon, a lot of what Jesus teaches us in this sermon is how we are to be different from other people. We're not to be the same as other people. A few times in my life, I've been told I look like this guy, Butch Dingle out of Emmerdale. I know it's a long time ago now, but I was told I look like him. In my last congregation, I got a message from a young man I'd been preaching to about an hour before, and his message to me was, "It's been bothering me for a long time, but today I figured it out. It's Prince Harry you remind me of," which was, I thought, a compliment, but to Prince Harry. We look like everybody else. If you look at our church car park, it looks a little bit like everywhere else. We have the same kind of cars. We obviously like them. When we look at what we're wearing, we don't stand out as completely different to everybody else. Our houses are the same as everybody else's. Lots of things that we have are just the same as everybody else. And Jesus wants us to look different, to be different. And what I want to say is that we won't be different if we stop listening to Jesus. So what I want you to remember today as we start again looking at the Sermon on the Mount is that it is Jesus who's speaking. It's the Son of God who came from heaven to earth. It's him who is God who is speaking to us and telling us what we should be like. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, people were amazed at his teaching because he spoke as one who had authority. And it would be good if us today listened to the authority of Jesus Christ and submitted to it in a way that we hadn't before. The summary of this sermon, the main point that I think Jesus is making here is that we should seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. So I've got three things to look at today. They come like this. We've not to be slaves to money or slaves to worry, but we are to be slaves to God. So first of all, look at being slaves to money. Now, I reckon that most of us here are the same, that very few of us do our work, get our pay at the end of the month, and have a lot left over to do whatever we want with. That one of the priorities that we have is money. We hardly have enough of it for the different things that we want to do. We know we're richer than so many of the world's population, but still, money is a big concern in lots of our lives. And Jesus' teaching here is that we are not to worry, do not store up for ourselves treasures on earth. That is not to be our focus. When I think of the Bible and its ideas on possessions and money, I'm reminded of the story of Ananias and Sapphira. Do you remember them in the book of Acts? These were people who sold their possessions to give to the church, which seems like a great thing to do, but then they told a lie and both of them died because God punished them. What was wrong with what they did? Was it that they had possessions? No. Possessions are okay. Was it that they kept some money back? No, the money was theirs in the first place. It was that they had lied to God. They'd lied not just to men, but they'd lied to God in Acts chapter 5. So possessions, Jesus doesn't say possessions are wrong. We can have possessions. Jesus told the story of a wise man who built his house upon a rock. Why was he wise? Because that man's possession, that man's house would last. You could trust in it. But what is wrong is that what the sin is that we start to trust in our possessions, trust in what we have, trust in the provision that we've made for ourselves. I want you to answer an honest question, especially those of you who are retired. Are you going to be okay because your pension will last longer than you? Or are you going to be okay because you will see Jesus Christ and he will be your savior? Are you going to be okay because your Redeemer lives and in the end he will stand upon the earth? What makes you okay? What is your trust in? Is it in what you have built up for yourself, or is it that God has got you? And so many of us, and so often, we are trusting in what we have. And so what we are to do instead is that we are to listen to Jesus Christ. Listen to Jesus Christ, and he says to you, don't store up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Who's speaking? Jesus Christ, him who came from God's side, who became a man and who made his dwelling among us, who showed us his glory, who lived a sinless life, who was crucified on a cross, who bore the guilt of our sin, who was raised from death to life, and who has ascended up on high again. And one day his Father is going to send him back, send him to this earth. And what is going to happen to this earth at that time? Well, it will come to an end, and there will be a new heavens and a new earth. And so if we want to actually think of just how ridiculous it is for us to put our trust on treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, we see the futility of it when we reckon and understand that at any time, Jesus could come back, and all of these things that we've put our trust in can be destroyed in a moment. A flood could come, a fire could burn, and a thief could break in and steal. It can all go just like that. And we know that. We know that these things that we put a lot of effort and thought into, it can just go. 2008, we'd sold a house and we'd moved into a manse. And so we had some money and we thought we'd better do something sensible with this money. So me being a canny saver, I understood that the best bank to put it in was this Icelandic bank. 1 week later, the Icelandic banks are going, look. Fortunately, I wasn't that rich to lose anything because my money was safe. But the banks can collapse, the currencies go, everything just happens like that. Don't put your trust in your riches. Instead, do something else. Jesus tells us to store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. How do you store up for yourself treasures in heaven? There isn't a bank of heaven where you can put a deposit in, really, is there? So how do you do it? I think just two things to make you think about. Value what heaven values, or treasure what heaven treasures. What does heaven value? Heaven values most of all the glory of God, the worship of God. Heaven values what you were doing this morning when you're singing praise to God. Praise the Lord, my soul. Oh, praise him. We sang words like that. I'll praise God. That's what heaven values. Heaven values us trying to be like Jesus because God has made it so that each of us will be conformed to the image of his Son. Heaven values that. Heaven values that we become like Jesus then. Heaven values how we view other people. If the Lord Jesus Christ said, let the little children come to me and don't forbid them, heaven values that we do that. And so we lay up treasure for ourselves in heaven when we live in a way that would please heaven. So how do we do that? Well, where our treasure is, our heart will be also. Our focus is on these things that we are concentrating on. So how does it work? Well, the eye is the lamp of our body. If our eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. You start looking at things. Last week, I sold a car. So this week, I've been looking for a car. And if God were to say to me, Jeremy, let's have a look at how you spent your time this week, he might come up with a pie chart like that. It might not be as bad as that. That was just the way that the graph split it up. It's pretty, you know. How much thought does God get? Don't take too much significance from this. It's not accurate. But how much thought does God get in our lives? How do we do this? Well, it's what we fill our eyes with. And we have to keep on looking at the right thing. So I imagine some of you have quite interesting times at work. Others of you have less interesting times at work. And most of what you're looking at is facts, figures, things like that. And you're thinking, is this what my eyes are seeing all the time? Is Jesus saying now that if my eyes are good, I'm taking in all of this stuff and then I'm going to be filled with that? Should I give up my day job and become a sort of monk that just thinks about God all the time? I don't think that's supposed to say God, not go. But what we're supposed to do instead is cover everything with the thought of God. When I think about a car, can I pray about my car? Can I ask God, not for the best car, just that I ask God that I wouldn't make a stupid decision, because that's the sort of thing I do with cars. We ask God, can we, when we're watching the TV, do we sort of bring in stuff into our lives when we watch the TV so that our whole body becomes full of darkness because we're starting to look at things that perhaps we shouldn't? So what we're to do is, from the perspective of how we live our life, we have to start with God. We have to ask, is this what God wants me to see? Is this what God wants me to do? Because I need to subject it all to God. Why do I need to subject it all to God? Well, Jesus tells us. Jesus tells us very plainly, and we need to listen to Jesus. He says, you cannot serve two masters. Well, you can't serve God and you can't serve money. And we're struggling with this. How do we equate money and God? How do we live our lives and have money? We need money. It's how we get food. Jesus isn't telling us to become thieves and steal food because we can't serve money, but we have to serve God. Well, the language that Jesus is using is language of being owned as a slave. And a slave was never owned by two masters. A slave had one master. And we are to be, that's why slaves to money, slaves to worry, slaves to God is a good way of looking at this, because we either serve God, we're either under God's ownership, under God's authority, or we are under the authority of money. Jesus saw that. So what happens? Well, if we try to serve God and money, ultimately money wins. If we try to serve God, if I live my life for God, money becomes something else. Money becomes a servant of me serving God. I use my money to try and get treasure in heaven. I use my money for God's glory. I use my money, I try not to waste it because I understand what it is all about. We have to choose who our master is. Neil, who isn't here today, some mornings he wakes up and the first thing Neil will talk about is Lego. He wants Lego for Christmas, Lego for breakfast, he wants Lego for everything. And if I had to say to Neil, there's a real life Lego, imagine Lego was like that, that's how big it is. But if I was to say to Neil, it's Lego or God, what do you think Neil would say to me? I would present my son with a dilemma he found really hard, Lego or God. And I would say to him, Neil, Lego isn't real. Well, it is real, but these people can't talk to you. You can't live in a Lego world. He thinks he might try one day. Lego will ultimately be destroyed. Neil, it's Lego or God. If I was to say to you, what's your Lego? What is it that you have put in God's place that shouldn't be there? What should you be willing to give up that you're not willing to give up? It won't last. If it's your savings, if you have millions of pounds, enjoy it, but it won't last. You can't put your trust in it because this world is going to end. God is going to return. Everything that is here will be made new, so it won't last. What is your treasure in? The second thing we are to do is not to be slaves to worry. Verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. And again, simple. Why does he say therefore? He's told us, don't try and build treasures in heaven. Now, because I've told you not to build treasure in heaven, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you will wear. Don't worry about any of these things because it's silly. There's no need for you to do that. If you are doing things with heaven as your treasure trove, if you're building treasures in heaven, You don't need to worry about money. You don't need to worry about clothes. You don't need to worry about food. You don't need to worry about anything like that, because you are being cared for by God. That's the summary of this message, that there's no need for you to do it. It's an empty exercise. It is so foolish. Why do I spend so much time worrying about this or that? And ultimately, I have no control over it. Ultimately, it's not what my life is about. See, we think that we don't need to listen to this. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more than clothes? Well, yes, it is. It is. And we're not to worry. And you think, well, when I first read this, I often think of people who are starving, of people who are hungry, and I think, well, try telling them not to worry about food or clothes. But Jesus' teaching is the same. God cares for them. And I think, well, it's less relevant to people in Western society, because you've all got food and clothes. You don't worry about food and clothes. Well, that's a load of nonsense. You do worry about food and clothes. How many of you put something on this morning, looked in the mirror, and took it off because you thought, I look ridiculous? Well, some of you should have, but you shouldn't have. We do that. I find it's normally a Sunday morning I would do that. I can't wear that. Church? I really do think that. And then food. You skip breakfast. You're worried about what you're going to eat at the barbecue in case you get obese in the afternoon. You know, why are we like that? Why am I on a diet some of the time? You should say all of the time. You're nasty. Why, though? Is it because I'm vain? Is it because I want to look good? Is it because I want other people to think I look good? Is it because I'm really worried about my future and I need to make sure that if I survive till 75 that I'm not too overweight to move around? Well, what Jesus is saying is you've got no idea what the future looks like in that regard. Am I trying to lose weight because I want to serve God, because I want to build treasures in heaven? Well, it doesn't come into it as it should. So what we've got to understand is when we worry about our food and our clothes and our body, we are sometimes and often showing that we're enslaved by an idea that we have to provide for ourselves. That our security, my strength, my safety, it rests just on me. So we worry about our clothes and different things like that. So what are we to do instead? Let's be bird watchers. That's what Jesus said. Look at the birds. I was having coffee with somebody the other day and a bird was coming quite close to us who was wanting food. My wife would have freaked out at the bird being so close. I had just been studying. Look at the birds. John Stott, who was an avid bird watcher, says that Jesus doesn't just say, notice the birds. Jesus says, behold the birds. Yesterday I was through in Stirling and my in-laws have a bird feeder and I was watching the birds feeding. And they would just come to it. So these birds had something stored up for them. It wasn't them that provided the food for themselves, but one wee birdie was feeding another wee birdie. Look at the birds. Look at the birds, says Jesus. They don't have fridges or freezers. I think our fridges and our freezers are the sign that we are really wealthy people. We've got food stored away in big boxes. We've got enough for tomorrow. We don't need it. Jesus says instead, look at the birds. Our heavenly Father feeds them. And what are you? You're more important than them. You are more important than them. Yes, he loves them. He feeds them. But he loves you more because he sent his son Jesus to be your savior, because he's prepared a kingdom for you from before the beginning of the world. You are more important than them. And he will look after you. That's what he's saying. So don't you be worried about it. And why do you worry about grass? Why do you worry about clothes? Sorry. Because you can see that God provides for everybody. I've been in poor communities in the world. I've been in Gypsy communities in Eastern Europe. I've been in the slums of Mumbai just for about an hour. And you do see children who need clothes. But tell me, do we see adults who need clothes? Rarely. Because people can get clothes for themselves. People can cover themselves up. God provides. And that's what Jesus is saying. God provides all of this. And if we spend our life worrying, if we spend our lives trying to be secure ourselves, worrying about the future, Jesus tells us that we're not to do that because we can't change anything. We can't do anything about it. Why do you worry? Who, if you by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Worry. Some of us worry. And we possibly make our life shorter by worrying. We cannot add a single hour to our life. What's Jesus saying? Not that worry, you can make your life any longer. Jesus is saying your life is in God's hands. The time that you die is a time appointed from before the beginning of the world. You might do something foolish to contribute to that, but God is in control. I remember a good few years ago taking a funeral service of a young man who had died in a boating accident. And the man from the fisherman's mission had come to assist me take the funeral. And we were both just struggling a little bit, saying, why does a young man die like this? Why did God let this happen? And he was an older man, and he just turned to me and he said, God had decided that this was his time. Just like that. Yes, just like that. Because friend, you are not in control. God is in control. And our opportunity is not to save up for that rainy day, but to be ready for the day when Jesus Christ will return, or ready for a day before that when we might be taken. So our Heavenly Father is the one who does all of this for us. And so what are we to be like? Well, we're not to worry. Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans or the nations run after all these things, and your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. Your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. Who are you like? Who am I like? Am I different from the people around us? I'm not to be like the nations. I'm not to be storing up for myself treasures on earth. Instead, I have to be storing up treasures in heaven. I've not to be running around after things. I'm not saying it's ridiculous to make any provision for your future. It's ridiculous to be negligent. The ant is given praise in the book of Proverbs because it makes a store for itself. It prepares for when it needs, and we can do that, but we're not to trust in it. We are to trust in God. And so the question for you is, are you worrying? Are you behaving like a pagan? Or are you a Christian? Are you a Christian who trusts God, who knows that God will provide? Does your security depend on what you do or on God? It depends on God. Your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. He knows everything. A few weeks ago, I went to the shops to get some messages. I bought some bananas. That resulted in us having 30 bananas in our house. I didn't know what we needed. I don't know what we need. You don't know what you need yourself. You don't know your own needs. God does. God knows everything you need. And he doesn't promise to give you what you want, but he is God who supplies all your needs. He gives you what you need. He knows what you need. And so you have to make a priority of being a slave to God. That's what you are to do. You're to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. What does it look like? How do we do it? Seek first. What's your top priority? It's God's kingdom. What is God's kingdom? God's kingdom is the rule of Jesus Christ and the reign of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is king, and we put it first. So in my own life, I have to put Jesus Christ first, that my life would be lived in submission to King Jesus. And my desire for you is that you live your life in submission to King Jesus, that you put him first. And our friends outside who do not know Jesus yet, our desire for them is that they would put their trust in Jesus Christ. And then what you need then is that you would live for this. So what difference does it make? When you're worried, think about how you pray when you're worried. You pray, "Dear God, fix this for me because I can't fix it." And I understand, I pray like that too. I need to change and say, "Dear God, I don't know what you're doing, but will you do what you want with this? Will you make me more like Jesus in how I respond to this? Will you just be God in this and let me submit to it?" So you want God's kingdom to go. You want people to come into it. And a few of you know that since I've moved to Dunfermline, I've got more into riding a bike. Last night, we had two guys who were a bit plump round for dinner. And I was trying to persuade them to get bikes. You know, if you get a bike, it'll make a difference to your life. Yes, you'll be tired. And I become an evangelistic biker. Hey, why am I not like this? They knew I was a minister. They weren't Christians. And why was I not more trying to persuade them to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ under his rule and authority? Seeking God's kingdom first means that we want everybody to get what we've got from God. And we seek his righteousness. What is his righteousness? Well, his righteousness is the righteousness of God in the nations. So a Christian should have a moral outlook on the whole world, that we want justice, that we want an end to poverty, that we want people to be treated fairly, all of these things. We looked at Romans 13 a few weeks ago where we said submit to the authorities. There was one exception when we didn't have to, and that was when the authorities weren't doing what God's word would say. We would seek his righteousness, and we would want that to be seen throughout the world. But how can we do that? How can you stop worrying? How can you stop worrying? How can you stop saving up and providing for your own future and trust in God instead? Well, Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. What are all these things? They're all the things you need. So we're not promised. Sometimes we see people with Christian ministries saying, if you give to God, God will give to you more generously. And so here's this televangelist who was recently asking for another plane that would go further than his last plane. And the Lord's people were to provide it. And that was them sowing seeds in God's kingdom. And sometimes Christian ministries need planes to do good things. But God doesn't promise us that we'll be blessed by having a plane or anything like that. What we are promised is that we'll be given what we need. All these things will be given to you as well. Are you thirsty? Are you hungry? Anybody need clothes? Well, you might think, I've got enough. Well, that's what God promises to give you. When you put his kingdom first, God gives you what you need, and you get it from him. And so what we're to do then is not to worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. What are you to do about tomorrow? Not worry about it. Don't worry about tomorrow. And there's lots of tomorrows. And we can't tell how tomorrow is going to turn out. So don't worry about it. Today, be thankful for what you have. Live today trying to put God's kingdom first and seeking his righteousness over the world. And tomorrow, get up and try and do that as well. put God's kingdom first and seek his righteousness and trust that he's provided for you. A few months ago, I went to the doctors because I was having chest pains. So I was starting to worry about my chest pains. And the doctor said to me, "What is it you do?" I said, "I'm a minister." She said, "Well, don't drink too much." I thought, "Oh, ministers tend to do that." She said, "I used to go on holidays and the ministers would be off the island because he was drying out in Oban, the minister and the doctor. So there's ways of coping." She said, "What do you do?" I said, "I'm a minister." "What do you do when things are tough?" I said, "I don't know." She said, "What do you do?" I said, "I'm a minister. Where do you go for help?" "I pray." She said, "Well, pray." I nearly hugged the doctor. "What do you do? What do you do when you're worried? What do you do when you can't change things? What do? You pray. Ask God to help. And you say to God, your way. Your way. Because guess what? His way is always going to be the best way. Your ways are a bit silly. You put money in Icelandic banks. That was silly, wasn't it? You buy cars that rust. You make silly mistakes. God's ways are the best ways. So seek first his kingdom. So are you able to live like this? Are you coping with your life? Are you worried about stuff? And actually, two words for you today are just this. Trust God. Trust God. Trust God. Are you different from other people around you? Well, you should be. You need to look different to people around you. You need to be not the same as them in where you're looking. That's, we look the same, but where we're looking is different. We look the same because we have the same things, but we are looking to God. We're filling our life, our eyes, the light of our body, are looking at good things. So we're looking to God, God to provide, God to forgive. We're looking for God's kingdom to increase. And our security is not in what we can do. These are great words for you to know. Just let's finish with these words. Can you all look at me? I want to tell you some words that I want you to take away with you this week. Okay? It's this. Your Heavenly Father knows what you need. It's all you need to know. Your Heavenly Father knows what you need. Trust him. Let's pray.